Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Scottish Watches podcast. Still managing to be the most petty and the most ill-informed podcast out there. Although we did reach... Actually, no, that's not fair. I was going to say we have reached a new low of pettiness. But actually, we have seriously upped our watch game in the past two episodes. We have talked about so many watches that actually, this episode, we should maybe just talk about none and go back to film reviews and talk about cars and stuff. Because, to be fair, we went through... I mean, how many watches must we have talked about in that GPHG episode with Two Broke Watch Knobs?
Oh, that was six entrants per category, and there was... How many categories?
It's like eight categories or something?
Yeah, it was a lot. Because when I was doing the show notes, it was a lot of screen capturing to get all those images of the watches in.
Yes. Although we did manage to find Kazi's great American novel that he was searching for, and we found it on the show notes of 10 and 2. So it turns out that Catelyn has actually written the next great American novel, if you want to go read her show notes. That's some effort she's put into those show notes.
Yeah, you could learn a thing or two, couldn't you?
She must be doing a PhD. I'm more of a pictures man. Mm-hmm. She must be putting a PhD together for podcasting PhD.
You're more of a colouring in book kind of guy.
Colouring in books, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That, you know those, have you ever seen those books that you buy for like relaxation? They're like adult colouring books.
I thought it was different kind of adult books you bought for relaxation.
No.
Okay.
Adult colouring books, and then Paint by Numbers is also back.
Nice. Good. What's been happening in the land of Rick the last week?
In the land of Rick, let me think, has there been anything of note happening? There hasn't really. I'm coming to the end of this rotten cold.
The end of your life.
So hopefully I'll not. Well, I, you know, every day I draw a little closer.
Uh-huh.
There is always that. Yes, I'm coming to the end of this rotten cold, so hopefully the editing process will not be quite so arduous as it was for the last couple of episodes.
Good.
Where, well, I've been hacking.
Do you know that in our hidden Facebook group, not the Facebook group that you know about, but the hidden one that we have about you, we've got a Deadpool running.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And can I take part in this?
No, because you could sway the figures a bit.
Does all the money go to my heirs and successors? Can I nominate a charity?
A charity? Rolex?
Yes. Oh. I'd like all my earthly possessions to go to a charity. Rolex SA.
Our favourite charity on the planet. But, right, well, apart from your cough getting better, because that was a hell of an edit, mm-hmm. for the Two Broke Watch Knobs edition, which we all recorded, then the cat was out of the bag at the last minute. We recorded this on a Saturday, and they wanted it ready for Monday. And it was a two-hour show, which meant I had the show to edit, plus all the cuts and the chops. And so that's like phenomenal amounts of work. So I just said to you, I don't have time for this. You go and tell me what bits to edit out. And you didn't tell me to edit out any bits that were dodgy. You just told me to take out the bits where you were coughing. And that still took about an hour.
Yes. Yeah, there was about 90 edits of me just coughing and spluttering. To be fair, Kaz has got a bit of a cough as well, but his is more of a nervous tic than an actual viral infection. He's got other viral infections over here, but not those ones.
We all do. Catelyn gets around. So one thing I noticed when we were actually recording that was the first time I'd spoken to those guys. I think it was probably the first or second time you had, because you did a test call. But within a minute or two, even though there was transatlantic lag, and there was also the lag between all the different calls, it was as if we were a bunch of people that knew each other, we were friends, and we were just having a good laugh.
Yes, they are cool guys. It was a really fun show to record, and some of the off-air stuff was also very funny that we hadn't started recording. Some of the best jokes, which I think is the way of these things. You just need to record everything and edit it. But there was a really good chat, and we are going to try and do a live broadcast with them on the evening of GPHG in November.
Yeah.
We're just trying to work out the tech. It's going to be like NFL commentary meets Eurovision commentary.
Nope, for those of you that
are familiar with both of those genres.
Nope. It's going to be nothing like that, because if me and Kaz have got a hand in things, it's going to be more like WWE commentary on the Royal Rumble.
Right, okay. Oh, and they've not given the award to the Royal Oak.
Oh, yeah, actually, I have watched some of this stuff. Well done, you.
I've never have, but it's, you know, memes, you kind of pick it up as you go along.
Cool. Now, big good one, and that episode, although it was released on the Two Broke Watch Knobs server and feed first. We dropped it on ours midweek on Wednesday, and it was a 2-hour epic. Yep. And we thought, oh, that's like 4 hours worth of watch pish we put out this week. Will people care? Will people listen? Apparently you guys did. So thanks for the positive feedback. Turned out to be a really good episode. I enjoyed doing it. Everybody had their chance to speak. Rick managed to let people speak because he was dying, which is good. And if this can continue, hopefully into sort of Christmas and New Year, we're all jamming. So that was good. And then we had an episode that needed a little bit of work, and that was Sophie Rindler's episode, because we thought Catelyn was a bit of a potty mouth. We hadn't spoken to Sophie, and she's very, very colourful with her language. In a good way, it was a hilarious, it's one of the funniest episodes we've done. She
was very funny.
She would just talk about different stories to do with watches, way back to like the first watch that she ever got, she stole. And then she had a breakup with somebody because she liked the crappy watch that she had and they didn't, so they bought her a nice watch. She didn't like it and they dumped her. And it was just like story after story of funny things. So if you've not heard that episode, go back and check it out. Plus, there's a lot of deep knowledge to do with the watch industry mixed in with the fun. Yeah. So it sort of hits all targets. We're going to have her back.
And she's also got a really, really bad memory. So she can't actually remember any of the stories she told us. So I keep on getting messages, which is, did I really say that? Oh, I'd forgotten I said that.
Yes, we did. I played around with some video editing stuff, and we put out 4 teasers. If you can hear an alarm going on in the background, it's not mine, so don't worry about it. We put out 4 teasers, little clips of things that she'd said. And every time we put one of these up before the podcast came out, she would message and go, oh my God, I don't remember saying that. Oh my God, what else is in this? I'm shitting myself for this episode coming out.
So the person, we've just come off a live Instagram chat that said, what do I need to do to become a guest on the Scottish Watches podcast? The first qualification is to have a really bad memory so that you tell us stories that you probably wish you wouldn't have told us.
Yeah,
so yeah,
that helps. So cool. That was that. We have got lots of guests in the pipeline. We've been speaking to Sophie. I spoke to Sophie on Facebook maybe a year and a half ago about meeting up to see Talker Watches in Basel for last year. And she dinged me at the last minute, which is a story of my life. You know, that's the Tinder life of Ricky in the past. And then we got back in touch in May, had a wee chat, kept kind of chatting through, and then we finally got that recorded a couple of weeks ago. So we've got a lot of different things, lots of irons in the fire for future podcast guests. But if you're interested in coming on, or you'd like to suggest somebody, or you know somebody you think we should speak to, get in touch. Jump on our website, scotchwatches.co.uk, click the contact button, drop us an email.
Yeah, and in particular, we'd like to hear from you if you happen to work for Instagram. Because yes. A, we'd like to speak to you, and B, we've got a bone to pick with you.
Yeah, we had a little issue that you've heard us talk about the new Scottish Watches Facebook group, which we launched a couple of weeks ago there, which is going great. Loads of people are joining, loads of people are coming in having a laugh, and you guys have got the same sense of humour as us, not taking things too seriously, but also not crossing the line, and we appreciate that. So thanks very much for, what was it, the term I used in the rules? Behaving yourself. That was it. So that's good. But the problem was, both of us have got Facebook accounts. We're both linked as admin on the Instagram account. We've linked the Instagram account to our page and also to this group. And somewhere, something has gone funny. And you had a problem where you were logging into one account and it was instantly locking out Instagram because Instagram thought you were getting some dodgy hacking stuff going on.
Yeah, I think they thought that me connecting the Facebook account to Instagram was actually a piece of third-party software. For some reason, but it obviously wasn't because it was Facebook and Facebook owned Instagram. Yeah. And the problem was we weren't getting any emails, so like it wasn't that we'd done something bad, because if you do,
nah, definitely not.
You know, post stuff that gets complained about, you at least get a warning. They send you an email. Not that I've ever seen one of these warning letters. I've heard about them. I've heard they exist.
TGV told us about them.
It just disappeared, just vanished. And then it reappeared for no reason. Didn't tell us why it reappeared. And then it disappeared again. And so it's back.
But it's working now. And basically, because we've decided to try and promote what we are doing as much as possible, get more listeners for the podcast, more people in the group, we've spent a little bit of cash putting some Facebook adverts out there. So if people are into watches and they've liked maybe Seiko or Omega or Rolex, then we'll be dropping wee adverts that hopefully they'll see that says, if you like watches and you're interested in this kind of thing, come check out the podcast. So we've now got an account manager at Facebook, Instagram, and they're looking into what exactly went wrong. So hopefully that doesn't happen again. Yeah. If it does, we've got a contact and we can just give them a wee shout and say, Gonny, fix this for us. So hopefully our wee Instagram issues are gone. So what are you wearing? No, I've got an idea. Let's change this up.
Okay.
Rick.
Right.
Rick, what watch are you going to wear in a week's time.
I'm going to wear the watch I'm wearing now, which is the Seiko Arne. Ooh. It is not the Panerai. The Panerai is in its box. I'm wearing the Seiko Arne with the gold, rose gold bezel, and it is cracking. Love it. In fact, no, we're recording. It's 4:15 just now that we're recording, and it's got a wee... I've got the minute repeater set, the hour repeater. So if we're still recording, come 5 o'clock, it will beep its merry little heart out.
Is that called a chime?
Chime, that would be the phrase. So
minute repeater.
Love it.
Jesus.
Here we go. I can't say fair of that. It's just a cracking all round, do anything you like watch. Only slight flaw I've found is that if you've got an alarm set or you want to put the light on, it's got a wee fading light, you need to, because it's waterproof, the crowns unscrew. So to get any of the buttons to actually actuate, you need to ever so slightly unscrew the crown so that the button actually pushes enough to unset the alarm or stop the alarm or to make the light come on if you're needing to read it in the dark because the loom has failed. But the loom is really good, so I've not actually had to use a light at all. So there we go. That's what I have got on. What about yourself?
Well, on that note, we did an Instagram Live last week, so I managed to capture it. Instagram used to allow you to save your lives and videos and stuff like that. Apparently not anymore. I managed to download that and upload that to YouTube, so you can see Rick doing a very fuzzy unboxing of his Seiko Arne on our YouTube channel, which we'll link in the show notes as well. And that was a bit of fun as well. We're having a lot of fun with Instagram Live, so keep an eye on...
Yeah, I'm quite enjoying that.
It's a good laugh and a lot of interaction. Keep an eye on our Instagram page and our Facebook, because we're always going to announce the day before when and... Yeah. What time we're doing stuff. Today was Friday the 13th and we announced it and we had a good couple hundred people in there, which was nice.
Yeah.
So next week I will be wearing one of three watches.
Right, okay.
It could be a black G-Shock, one of the new ones that looks a little bit like a Royal Oak, which I came up with the name, the Royal Shock, which I thought was okay, wasn't the greatest. Then one of our listeners got in touch to say, call it the Cassie Oak. And I thought, that's better. That's far better. So
somebody else has called it the G-Shock, which is quite Scottish sounding. It's a G-Shock.
I thought that, and that was one of my initial thoughts. It wasn't quite as good.
It doesn't really work globally.
Yeah.
G-Shock.
But we'll go with Cassie Oak. So whoever it was that did that, messages, and I will give you a credit, because we like to credit our sources. So that's coming. Also, I saw a news article about Raketa watches, and it was a re-release of a watch called... Who knows what it was called? I'll tell you later on when I look at my notes. So I saw this article on one of the websites about a Raketa watch that was getting re-editioned, and the new one's coming out for about a grand, and at the bottom it says, but you can go on eBay and you can find the old ones for about 60 quid. And I like the look of it. It's got a kind of, the way the hands work, it's almost like discs. One is like a rotation ring and the other one is like the sun or the moon, and they rotate obviously as hands. So I went on eBay, found an alleged new old stock, looked like a redial Raketa watch for 100 quid. Photos of the movement, photos of the case, photos of the dial and whatnot, and it looks decent. So for 100 quid, I've got that coming. And the last thing, and a little bit of news, is the Timex Q has been brought back into stock.
Is it called the Timex Q or is it called the Q Timex?
I was stating the brand name followed by the model.
No, to be fair, it is called the Q Timex. The Q Timex 1979 reissue. That's from the Timex website.
Ooh.
Because it actually reads the Q is above the Timex.
You're right.
So there you go.
There we go. So
I am right,
okay,
for once.
It is the Q Timex. And that, I got
it,
an email.
Or is it actually, is it strictly speaking called the Timex Q Timex?
I don't know. Anyway.
There you go.
So the Q Timex, which is named after
and
Rick,
if you have more than one of them.
You know I'm going to be deleting all this shit out, so there's no point in you saying it. Right. So this new Q Timex, which is named after probably the greatest character in Star Trek, Q, this one has come back into stock. You finally got that joke.
Good.
Do you ever watch Star Trek? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do know who Q is. Q was played by the English guy. What was his name? What was the actor's name?
No, it wasn't.
Is he not an English guy?
No, it was John Delancey.
Is he not English? I thought he was English.
No, that's Patrick Stewart. He played Captain Picard.
Well, I know who Patrick Stewart is. There's a new show coming out, isn't there?
It's called Picard. I've not seen it yet.
It's called Picard. Mm-hmm. I've seen the what do you call it? The adverts for it.
Yeah, I'm going to wait until it comes out and watch a season, like blow through it. But anyway, Q Timex. Yeah. Okay. Let's not Sophie this episode and go down rabbit holes quite so quick. So this is a watch that came out. It was announced, I think, about May time. came out, instantly sold out across the world, and the scalpers appeared. How's it going, Omer? And they were selling it for 300 to 400 to 500 quid on eBay. It's a nice looking watch, kind of reminiscent of the Pepsi GMT. It's got a funky bracelet. Obviously, it's just a quartz number. I think it's 159 quid I paid for it, which seems a little bit on the high side, but I just like the look of it, and that's what it's all about. So, got an email today from Timex saying, this is back in stock on the UK site, because a few people have tried to buy Timexes from the American site, ordered it, and then had an email saying, chase yourself. So this is all legit, above board, UK, went in, saw the email just before our Instagram live, went in, used PayPal, got it. So hopefully that'll be here. And that's the three watches that I might be wearing in a week's time.
Cool. That's proper watch content, that is.
I know. And it's before the 20-minute mark. We're doing really, really well here. And
I think, I'm not sure what I think. I think the G-Shock, I saw one in Simon's at James Porter and Son. They're selling them. Oh, which reminds me.
Have we got a scoop for people?
We've got a scoop. So yes, Simon at James Porter sells G-Shocks, but he also sells Seiko. I now can't say Seiko. I'm now saying Seiko. This is ridiculous. What has that tube done to me?
Does he do Grande Seiko?
He does Grande Seiko as well. Yeah. So, and he has just had his delivery in. In fact, it was actually a photograph of his that broke our Instagram account. Because I posted a picture of the point of sale box for the Seiko 5s.
Right.
Empty, because the box had arrived, or the POS had arrived, but the watches had...
And you're meaning point of sale, not piece of shit?
Yes, and yes. Then the internet broke, or Instagram broke. Mm-hmm. So I've now got a message, they are now for sale. He has got a limited initial stock in, like, you know, not very many of these. So if you want one, or to have a look at them, you'd busy be it down to James Porter and Son, or go onto the website, just Google James Porter and Son and you'll see it on the web. But the really shockingly interesting news is we have got a discount code for you. Woohoo! If you put in Seiko, don't put in Seiko, put in Seiko 10, mm-hmm. even though it's a Seiko 5, you'll get a 10% discount off of it. So okay. Don't say we don't give you anything. So for all your Seiko 5 needs, and frankly, G-Shocks and all the rest of it, James Porter and Son, Simon's a really good guy. He's been great to us,
yep.
And to Red Bar and stuff in general. So get on his website and get your Seiko or Seikyo ordered from him and get 10% discount.
Yep.
So they will go quickly, these, because there's a very limited stock in just now. I'm sure more will furrow its way through. So if you're really keen on buying one of these and flipping it, now is your chance.
I heard O'Meara's going in tomorrow to get one, or 10.
Yeah. So, go in and buy all 10.
Yep,
so
it.
He's got a couple or one or two of most of the ones that I think everybody thinks will be the most popular.
Right.
And you can go in and check and see if the red one is actually hot pink and settle a 10 and 2 argument.
Okay. Well, I may actually take a trip in tomorrow, because I think, joking aside, O'Meara is going in and the TikTok collector Logan is heading in. So I may actually pop in and say hello. And does that discount code, is that going to expire anytime soon? Do we know?
I think the discount code will expire.
Is it for this month?
I think it probably for this month, but I think it will expire long after the stock has gone. So frankly, I could say the discount code is only applicable till Wednesday. I suspect all the stock will be gone for then,
right.
Because it really makes little difference. Mm-hmm. So it will certainly be applicable this month, but get in there and get your Seiko 5 order. I do like the look of these. They're not SKXs. They're not doing what an SKX does. I also had a message from someone that said that despite what everybody's saying, the SKX is not dead, that there is a new one coming. I don't follow these things closely enough, because if I did, I'd be a watch professional to understand as to the truth of this. Because I know like Long Island Watch and these guys, and I've heard other people speak about Long Island Watch saying that the SKX is no more and is officially removed. But I've also had messages from people saying, from one particular guy who appears to be genuine, legitimate, no, I've actually seen what the new SKX is going to look like. It is coming. It was from a contact overseas, so we'll see who's right.
Oh, somebody at Vacheron. Nice. So that's good. Yeah. And what's that code again for people that are thick?
Seiko, spelt the way you spell Seiko, as opposed to Seikyo. Seiko 10 should get you a 10% discount.
And what would happen if someone typed in Seiko 90?
I don't know.
Would they get 90% off?
You could try it.
Right, okay.
But I suspect by the time you did that and then went back to refresh your order to do it properly, the watch would already have been sold because somebody else would have got there first.
Cool.
So I wouldn't waste your time.
Cool. That's good. Excellent. There we go. And James Porter & Son, they do sales throughout the UK, mail order via their website, so you don't have to trail into their shop.
Yes. So good guys, very much worth supporting. Local AD, so get behind them. Very much into his watch. And there will be some big news coming from them shortly. Some very interesting.
Orwork, I've got a new watch. Have you seen this one? The U100 Space Time.
Or Urk.
Urk.
Did you see that we were given a row by Barbara Palumbo, or Adore, who's at or Adorn Mentality, or she's also at What's On Her Wrist. You'll probably know her more by at What's On Her Wrist. She gave us a row in the private messages. In fact, I think she actually put it on her story just as a general row to people that do podcasts about mispronouncing watch brands.
Yes, I replied to her saying, was this us?
You replied to her. I don't think it was.
It wasn't.
Well, I mean, it probably could have been, but I think we then got into a conversation about the fact that we keep phoning the brands on the show, which she was both amused about and quite shocked by, I believe. But and hopefully Barbara will be on soon.
Good.
But there we go. So we're getting around. So yeah, so when we phoned up Urwerk, because they were like, the answer to the phone was Urwerk. So Urwerk. Yes, they've basically ripped off my Gorilla watch, haven't they?
Yes, frankly. Wandering Hours and Astrological
Time. The Wandering Hours complication. It's a very, very similar looking Wandering Hours complication.
They all kind of look the same.
Well, yes. I mean, it is a fairly standard way, but this is quite good. Very similar, almost too similar. But the interesting thing, it's got two other complications on it, which are, I have even managed to beat the equation of time, which is one of my favourite pointless watch complications. It's managed to knock that into a cocked hat. So it has, now let me just get this right to make sure I've got this the right way around. It has two Earth complications on it. So one is about how far the Earth has rotated at the equator in a 20-minute period. So one side shows 0 to 555 kilometres.
Super useful.
Super useful. And then the other is, if I remember correctly, it's about how far the Earth has rotated around the Sun. Can I actually find the numbers for that one? Yeah, I think that's the two complications. So one is about how far the equator has moved over a period, and the other is about how far the Earth has moved over a period. So yeah, completely pointless. But interestingly, these are Hodinkee exclusives.
You sure?
They were for sale in the... Yep, I think they were for sale in the Hodinkee shop. I'm just checking. They were for sale. Let's go to the Hodinkee shop. Sorry, click, click in the background. Yeah, the UR100 Space. I mean, they are pretty cool looking, to be fair. They've got a kind of De Bethune thing going on with them in terms of the crown at 12 o'clock. Obviously, De Bethune and Urwerk have done a collab for this. What's the auction called? The charity auction?
Only Watch.
One Watch. Only Watch auction. So they've put these, they are $49,000 each.
Oh, cheap.
And they are both completely, so, oh no, there's one left. There is one iron one left. All the rest of them, how many were they making?
One.
Yeah, that's right. 25 pieces. So they're making 50 in total for 50 grand each. It's just an insane amount of money that Hodinkee are making.
Yes.
Absolutely bonkers. But we'll catch them eventually.
Yeah, of course. We're getting there. Slowly but surely, we're taking over the world.
Yeah. So anyway, that is a cool watch. So go and check that out. That's Urwerk. It is funky. Mm-hmm. But it is basically the same as my Gorilla. My Gorilla is $3,500. That's $45,000 or whatever it is.
Nice. And you have some watch news stuff as well, don't you?
I mean, there are some other new watches out. Yes, there certainly are. There is a few interesting ones. One in particular that I was surprised when I saw the pictures of it, that I actually thought, you know what? For a green watch, that's all right. And it also has Tag on the watch and Heuer on the watch.
Yeah, you can take the little tags off once you buy it. That's just the price.
So Tag Heuer, Aquaracer. So Omega released their green watch thing. How long ago was that? Fortnight ago?
The Rolex-y type thing.
The Rolex-y type thing.
Maybe 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, this is... You could be excused for accusing this of being a similar trope, but actually, the pictures I've seen of it, it's a green watch, silver bezel, Aquaracer design. It looks really quite smart. Don't know how much it is. It'll not be anything like the expense of that Omega, which was something frightening. Mm-hmm. There is one with diamonds for the numerals as well, so you can pimp your ride, so to speak. But 43, there's a 32 ladies version with the diamonds on it. I don't know if the 30... Actually, hold on a second. Okay, right, I've changed my mind. Let's watch A Waste of Time, Don't Go Anywhere Near It, because the 43mm version is powered by the Calibre 5, but the 32mm for the ladies is powered by quartz with some diamonds on it. Now, I can accept the diamonds, but for the name of everything, why are you putting a quartz movement in this? Have some respect.
Shall I tell you why?
Go on.
Okay. Unfortunately, and this is a hard truth for certain people to swallow, like car tuning, performance cars, the watch scene community is predominantly filled with males, unfortunately. And women, unfortunately, in the grand scheme of things, are looking for a watch that they can pick up, put in the wrist. They don't have to wind, they don't have to set, they don't have to set a date. You don't have to fiddle around my crown and all the rest of it. And that seems to be the way of things, because I've been speaking more and more to my female friends about things as we progress with the podcast and things. And that seems to be the general way of it. Whereas a guy is more mechanically minded, women are more fashion oriented, it seems to be. Although there are standouts that we've obviously had a lot of guests that are female that are into watches just as much or more than we are. The sales sort of dictate when the figures come through that that's what that type of consumer is looking for.
But do you not think there's also an opportunity here?
There's an opportunity.
There's an opportunity for TAG to educate so that somebody that goes in to look at the ladies' Aquaracer is presented with a quartz model and presented in the same size with a mechanical model. And then they say, okay, so they're not going to sell as many mechanical, I accept the argument, but if they can manage to convert someone that's interested in their watch and get them to appreciate some of the stuff that goes into it, they've probably got more chance of them getting them into the collecting world and the multiple watch purchasing than they have. Because the reality is, as you say, a quartz watch, dead easy. The reality is, if you sell one, you might not ever sell another one to that person until that one breaks. But if you sell them a mechanical watch...
Is it going to break?
Oh, it's not that they'll break, but you might have started something in them that gives them a more of an appreciation. I mean, this applies equally to women as it does to men.
Mm-hmm.
That actually means, well, actually, I'm now quite interested in that. It's not just something that I throw on to tell the time. It's got something about it. It's got a heartbeat. I might fancy something different. I might fancy an upgrade or going sideways or whatever it happens to be. So I think the fact that they're... I think it's short-sighted to just produce this as a quartz watch for women. At least put a bit of effort in. You're a £1 billion company. Put a smidge of effort in and make a few of them available for your ADs to at least speak to the women who are going to be selling the 32mm with the diamonds on quartz to say, well, there is also this one, which is an automatic watch. Let me tell you why that's different. Let me tell you why that's either cheaper, more expensive, more unique about how you can engage with it.
Okay.
At least you know, give your salespeople something to sell.
Yeah. Rolex, they don't do quartz currently. So yes, I agree with you in point, but I also think that at some point in time in the big Swiss watch industry that exists, they have tried this. They have put out a quartz version of something, and they have put out an automatic version or a hand-winding version of something. Probably the hand-winder automatic will be more expensive because a lot more goes into it, and the sales would have come back, or the information would have come back that, you know, people are just interested in a pickup a watch. It's already set. I don't have to worry about accuracy. I don't have to worry about this. I don't have to worry about that, because that's the feedback I got speaking to girl pals about things, unless yes, they're super into watches. It's like in America, most people want an automatic car. They don't want manual.
Most people in America want an automatic rifle, but that's a different story. I agree with your analysis, but the point is, I think that's as much to do with lazy ADs just taking the quick sale. Lady comes in, somebody comes in looking for a smaller watch, so they sell them the quartz.
I've got an idea.
Because that's what they've got.
I
think if they had a manual wind, if there was one there, it would at least give the more engaged, authorised dealers something to try. And yes, they're not going to convert maybe more than 1 in 50. I've no idea.
Then you've got a return on investment of tooling and setting up and the cost. If you're selling 50 of X and one of another, then you're going to have to massively change your pricing structure.
Yeah, but the margins on these things are frightening. Let's face it, what's the margin on a TAG Aquaracer? Built by machines mostly, probably.
But here's a question, right? Let's stop this, because we're going to go down a massive rabbit hole. Guys, this is specifically for men listening to the podcast, which unfortunately is a high proportion of our listenership. Yep. Speak to your significant other. Speak to your sister, your mum, co-workers. Do this for us. One person, every listener, if
research.
You can. Yes, research. Speak to one person. in the office or whatever and say to them, do you wear a watch? They'll probably say no. If they do, or if they then say to them, well, if you were to buy a watch, would you be more interested if you had two options? Say they were even the same price or one was slightly more than the other. And this one here, you just picked it up, you wore it, it was quartz, blah, blah, blah. Or this one here that was, you know, it was a mechanical engine on your wrist. You're at one with the machine. You know, you've got to interact with it. You've got to wind it up. You've got to set the date every couple of days if you don't wear it. What one would you choose and see what they say? I would like to know, because obviously my friends kind of know I'm into watches. Most of my girly pals are into things like cars as well. So I would have thought they would have been more on the mechanical side, but they weren't. Uh-huh. So I want to hear across Scotland, the UK, Europe, America, everywhere else, Australia. Come back to us, drop us some feedback on Instagram or even on our new Facebook group or via the contact button on the website and let us know and we'll collate that data and see. Because I think it is probably the Swiss guys have tried it and they've, like you say, you know, every one in 50 went to mechanical or automatic because most of the time, it's like me, if my girlfriend of just now or in the past would say to me, what do you think of these different shades of curtains? And they're literally 1 degree of separation of a difference of colour, I'd be like, I don't care. Just pick what you like. Whereas to the girlfriend at the time, she'd be like, no, no, there's a difference here. You know, this is the reason this is important and I don't care. It might be completely the switched round way when it comes to watches for most girls. I don't know. Let's find out.
Okay, look, cool. Survey time. Excellent. So other thing that's appeared this week, or actually maybe 10 days ago, is a new Certina. This isn't terribly exciting, although it does have a big date window in it.
For blind people like you?
Yeah, for blind people like me. What's more interesting about this Certina is that it is the first or the next instance of the Nivacron hairspring, which was launched in the Swatch Fly Magic, now appearing somewhere else within the Swatch group. So this is their first attempt to take out of something that's more of a traditional luxury watch market rather than the Swatch world. So I dare say once they get over any issues they have with it at Certina, it will start to advance through the Omega brand, or the Swatch Group brands rather.
Okay, and there was a watch I saw advertised on the Facebook page of Jacob & Co. And you said this had been out for a while, so I did a bit more research. It got announced in May. I think it's now available, obviously in limited quantities, and that is the Jacob & Co. oil pump, which is really quite cool. It is not like most of their other pieces. It's very industrial. It's very steampunk kind of inspired. And it's got the mechanism of an oil pump, a Texas oil pump, and all the sort of associated machinery on the dial face.
They're called nodding donkeys.
Nodding donkeys?
Yeah, that's what you call them. That's what you call those kind of oil pumps. They're nicknamed nodding donkeys because they look like donkeys nodding.
Okay.
There you go. There's a bit of trivia for you.
Thanks for that one, JR. So there we go. There's that. It's actually really, really nice. It's got double axis tourbillon and a whole load of features that you don't care about. But it looks cool. And that's what this is all about. It looks
cool. How many are they making?
69. I don't know. I was looking at the nice funky pictures. Check the show notes.
They'll be making one for Michael the producer and
one for Grant Cardone.
Probably be it.
One for Teddy Baldessar. He did a video and he didn't invite us to communicate to him.
Yes, I saw that. He invites all these Z-lister YouTube and he forgets to invite the most Z-list of them all, which
so,
is us.
So, Jodie from Ayrshire, Adrian that now stays in Glasgow, and us, nowhere to be seen. Gunsap also pissed on us as well. Did you notice that?
No, what did he do?
He did a collaboration video of things to do with the Oris that we talked about, and there was snippets of everybody apart from us, and we thought we were besties as well. Totally pissed on.
Oh, dear.
But there was a good video. There was a really good video I saw, and it was about Oris. And it came out before our episode talking about Oris came out, so it wasn't as if Archie had listened to us, but he was pretty much on the money, apart from being like very off his head, shouting about all the points that we did. Did you see that video?
Yes, I did see that video. It was very funny. I thought his best gag in it was that the reason that the thing had been held in Shanghai was to keep it, was because it meant it was less distance from the factory to the launch event from where they were made. So I thought that was quite funny. Untrue, obviously, but quite funny, nonetheless.
There's been a lot of debate about this Oris Pro Pilot that came out.
Yeah, but did you hear, you've not heard this yet. Have you listened to the Grey NATO?
I never listened to that.
You need to go and listen to the Grey NATO's most recent podcast, on which they come out, and this will be a paraphrase because I've only listened to it once through in time for recording this. They basically say that they thought it would have been more expensive, maybe 18 or 19 grand, and that 7.5 grand was a perfectly reasonable price because of the work that Oris Morris had put into this watch. I'm like, what are you guys smoking?
This is the reason I don't listen to that.
There's no doubt the Oris is very nice. I think it is a nice looking watch. I'm just not sure. And they themselves have said that this is about the future. It's about what happens when the current climate of, dive watch, old world stuff, kind of reinventing the wheel stuff, when all of that dies down, where are they going to go next? And so they're kind of trying to get ahead of the game by bringing this out. So I understand the story. The watch is an impressive piece of mechanics, effectively a 12-day power reserve but 10-day badged. It looks nice if you like that kind of thing.
Yeah, Rick, do you want me to spoil it for you right now?
Go on.
Okay, see at the front of it. Imagine the front of it. Look inside it, where you've got the mainspring barrel that's skeletonized, so you can see inside. That looks like an old car cigarette lighter.
Yes, it does.
Try and unsee that.
Yeah, unsee that. I'm doing a list. If anybody wants to submit, in fact, come onto the Facebook group, because we're compiling a list of things you now can't unsee about watches. So on there, I've posted an also Instagram account, Citizen Watch. It wasn't a Seiko, as I had said mistakenly, the Tubert watch, the Citizen watch that has the underpants markers on it. But yes, you can't unsee that on the Oris either. But I get where they're going. I get the story. The price, I think, is quite pushing it.
See, if that was 3K, I'd have bought one.
They're entitled to charge what they like, frankly. But the fact that the Grey NATO guys have then come on saying, oh no, we thought this would be like 18 grand. And it's such a bargain because it could have been so much. I'm thinking, what? Anyway, but go listen. It's actually quite a good podcast episode from Grey NATO this week. Quite enjoyed it.
Still not listening to it.
That bit was just funny. Nope. You don't like them. Or it's not you don't like them. They're nice guys. You just don't like the format. They do talk. To be fair, I thought it would appeal to you because they do talk an awful lot about photography. And as you know from my photography skills, which are zero, it really doesn't interest me at all. And if I could fast forward those bits, I would.
It doesn't interest me either because it's a case of I've been doing photography for 15 plus years. Like you point the camera at stuff, you set some settings that you know in your head. Because you've done it a million times, click done, move on.
Okay.
But no, they talked about like what colour of backpack they were going to buy next and all kinds of weird stuff, so mountaineering and diving.
And actually, now that I think about it, the episode is sponsored by
Oris.
Gear Patrol. Is it Gear Patrol? And the advert they do, which is read off of a script, is quite sugary. Whereas the ones I've done before for Bremen and others, whereby they're actually fairly engaged with the brand, so they can freewheel it a bit. With the Gear Patrol one, it's really shoehorned in. It's actually, now that I think about it, it's actually really not quite very good. But there we go. Just a comment on the Oris watch. What I think they should do with that Oris, it's been compared to the Zenith Defy a few times.
Yeah, I did that.
The original Defy Lab had different colours of the silicon rotor. I actually think the way to improve that Oris or to give it some variation would be for the centre bridges that you can see from the front, for them to give you options for slightly different colours so that it's not all just the stainless steel
and
galvanised steel.
Can you hear that? What's that? That's the lawyers over at Zenith sharpening their pencils.
So as I always say to Oris, give us a bit of colour on that watch. And I think actually it brings it to a new level. Give it some depth as well. There's our Scottish Watches design services are available.
Well, we should also offer our design services to Bamford because they dropped us an email this week to our new employee. We got an email through. We're actually getting quite a lot of emails through. It's pretty cool. Not just from listeners like you guys, but some brands are getting in touch. We've got some really shaky brands getting in touch about micro brand crap that we just ignore.
Yeah, we're still at the level of getting stuff from shugly brands, shall we say.
Yep, there's that. And Bamford dropped us a message and it just started off quite sort of, hey, how's it going, Adrian? And we're like, Adrian? Adrian doesn't work for... Is Adrian like put his... his tax return in with our details on it or something.
He's filling in contact forms using our email address so that we get the junk mail. Yes. All I'm saying is, to complete that game, mate, just you wait till all the undone registrations you're about to receive.
I don't even know what it was, because as soon as I read that, I just laughed, went on Instagram, did a screen capture, showed everyone, had a good giggle at it, didn't even read the press release, but some Bamford GMT thing that's embargoed to whenever, who knows.
Alright, okay, that's a bit funny, is they send you a press release saying it's embargoed. I mean, that's kind of putting the cart before the horse. You're kind of supposed to agree with the person. I don't think you can actually send an email to somebody and say it's embargoed, and that's not a legal, there's not a legal defense there.
No.
If you send me something without me pre-agreeing not to accept your terms. You can't force your terms on me just because I opened the email. So if you send me something that says it's embargoed...
I've had fights with people like this before that have the confidential disclaimer at the bottom of the emails. On opening this email, you agree not to disseminate this information because it's of a confidential nature, blah, blah, blah. Do not forward this. Yeah, I didn't agree to that, so I can do what the hell I like with anything you send me.
Yes, I think it'd be interesting. I'm not sure what the test cases are on that, especially in Scotland, because I suspect in Scotland, the way everybody thinks it works in the rest of the world, it won't work that way in Scotland, as the British Prime Minister has found out to his cost this week. But that's a different story.
So,
it is quite funny getting press releases that say they're embargoed. I'm like, well, we haven't agreed this embargoed. You've just told us that. That's not the way email works. You send something to my account, I own that information. Just on the Bamford thing, we will, however, cover Bamford if he wants to send us, like, not watches, not interested in the watches. If he wants to send us a JCB for the farm, we'll promo his watches, no problem at all. So if you're listening, Mr. B, let us know. Yep. Sorry, Paul from Morris, what about him? Did he come back to me? Yes, he did.
What did he say?
Well, it's interesting. So I had posited the question. The conversation's not yet finished, but I posited that the press release from Oris was somewhat nondescript in that it doesn't actually describe it as an in-house movement. It
That's
describes
not
it
what
as
I'm talking
in-house...
about.
All right, okay. You can delete this bit then.
Right. What I said to you was, did you ever hear back from Paul at Oris about the whole, this is embargoed till Friday, and then everything came out Wednesday and Thursday?
Oh, no. No, I haven't heard about that. Because we were going to cover this. I was getting ready to sit down and write an article on the Thursday night, because it was all embargoed till the Friday, and then everything just came out on the Thursday. So I was like, well, no point in doing this now then. So so I didn't. So if you're going to put something in that's an embargo, don't send it to us with a different date on it than you send it to everybody else. So I didn't quite understand that, but I've not actually queried that, so I've not had an answer back.
No.
I am going to do a review of that Oris, but I'm going to do it based on pulling together some more reflective thoughts from all the other reviews that have been done to try and pick out the valid points.
Well,
from the,
let's just let our listeners know exactly how this is going to work, because that sounds as if you're going to do a review based on some pictures. You're actually going to wear the watch in one of the ADs and then do a review, because we hate people that do reviews of things they have never seen and are based off artists' impressions and 3D renders. So that's not,
and also not by listening, and also doing reviews not listening to the podcast.
Good. So that's cool. That's the Oris coverage tickled yet again.
What do we think about Porsche design watches?
Quite like them.
I do.
The older
like
ones, like a black one from the 70s, they had it on display at Baselworld this year, and it was really, really nice, but it was DLC and it was all kind of chipped up as happens, but really nice looking thing.
There's a hands-on review. I've been sitting on this for a while, that Ariel Adams did a blog to watch on this Porsche design UTC watch, and it's got five hands, so everything's powered from the centre rather than subdials. And actually, I think it's really cool. So go and have a look at Blog to Watch. Let us know what you think about it. I realised actually the glasses I wear are Porsche design, which I hadn't actually twigged until I realised Porsche design. I've seen that somewhere recently, like, you know, every day. But there you go. I quite like this Globetimer UTC. Very interesting. Really lovely colour. Great looking strap or bracelet. Sorry, that was just a wee aside. That was just a what do you think.
Well, going cool. From Porsche design to Invicta. Did you know Invicta is the name of a classic British car brand?
I think I may have known that now that you mention it,
because I was watching a YouTube video of random shit, as I do, and it was seven cars that borrowed lights from another car. Right, complete utter shit.
That's niche.
Well, it is, because I watch some car stuff.
And it's
but it was
niche,
actually pretty good.
And it's niche, by the way, not niche. It's niche.
Right.
Okay, sorry,
okay.
Go on.
You need to stop interrupting me. So it makes the editing an absolute cunt.
Yeah, I know, sorry.
So I was watching this video talking about different lights, and it was some really, really interesting things that I thought, never knew that. So I'll give you a couple of examples. First of all, the Jaguar XJ220 borrows the tail lights. This is like was one of the best cars ever, fastest production car ever. It borrows its tail lights, which are the rear clusters for people in the UK, from the Rover 200.
Yes, okay, I can see that.
Yep, they're upside down, and then they put a grill over the back so you didn't really notice. But as soon as you see the picture, you hear it, it's like, oh my God, so you did. The MG SV X-Power, which was the big muscle car that MG brought out for a couple of years back in the early 2000s, it looked cracking. The headlights from that are from the Mark II Punto. from Fiat. Right, but they were also talking about Invicta, the car brand, and it had been brought back, like most things like Chipek and whatnot, as a brand name. And Invicta, the car, was a 600 horsepower British sports car that came out about 5-10 years ago. So there you go, Invicta, right, okay. Doing it again.
Cool. Good old XJ220s, they're one of my favourite cars. I was overtaken by one once down in Coventry, and I think it had two 911s in tow who were clearly out for a giggle chasing this thing, and they stood no chance. Mm-hmm. This guy was absolutely blasting it along the M40 and into Coventry.
We've not done this before, but we're going to, because this is the podcast for watches, and some watch content came out from Apple.
Yes.
Quickly, going to shoehorn it in, and then we'll run away. So, smartwatch content. Apple released all their information on their new things, iPads, iPhones, iPhone Pros, and Apple Watch, not iWatch, as you like to call it. And the
I do call it an iWatch.
Yeah, sharp. So, Apple Series 5 has just been announced. Same battery life, 18 hours, but they've got a new screen technology that means that the screen is always on, and they call it the complication, or app that's running on the screen will always be displayed. It's got lots of new stuff, such as different types of material, recycled aluminium or aluminium, and various things like that. So, if you're into your fitness trackery type stuff, then that's something to look at. And that is the end of our smartwatch content for the year.
Have you ever worn one?
No.
I've never actually seen one up close. I've seen plenty of people wearing them, but I've never even handled an Apple Watch.
Yeah, so I've always had iPhones since 2008 because they just work. They generally just do work. Compared to all the shit that happens with Android, with malware and batteries exploding and blah, 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 it just works, right? I don't have an Apple computer. I use PCs for that because they work better and they're cheaper and blah, blah, blah. But watches and Fitbits and fitness trackers, they don't really do anything. They kind of just... I'm trying to think of the way to explain this. If you're going to the gym and you're doing stuff, you're going to the gym and doing stuff. You'll feel better. You'll know how your clothes fit on. You'll know what the scales say. You'll know how much energy you have, how tired you are, what your face looks like. Using a fitness tracker and doing all this microanalysis doesn't really compute for me. Also, when people have all their notifications popping up, when I'm in meetings with people and they've got an Apple Watch on and they get a notification from WhatsApp or email or whatever, they're constantly breaking away to look at their watch, which kind of ruins things. You're at the mercy of technology and notifications. I don't even have notifications turned on my phone for WhatsApp or messages. The only thing that will come through instantaneously is a phone call or a text message. That is it. So if someone has my phone number, that's the way they can instantly get in touch with me. Emails, WhatsApp, Instagram, all these other ways of communicating, I'll deal with that in my own time, but I don't want to be held accountable to a smartwatch. Plus, you have to charge it every day, so nightmare.
Yeah, I don't know. I would consider wearing one possibly for some of the stuff that it gives you.
Like
but,
what?
I use some medical apps. I use some medical apps that actually would be quite useful, just because I'm more or less permanently on the verge of keeling over. So
that Deadpool is running well.
Medical things. Sorry?
That Deadpool is running great.
Yes, it is. So what's the over-under?
Can't disseminate that kind of information to you. You're not in the secret club.
Cool. So yeah, that's the Apple Watch coverage for the year.
It is indeed. Yep.
Unless Apple want to send us one.
Of course. If they want to fly us out somewhere, we'd love to talk about it for a whole episode. Somebody posted in one of the groups I'm in, I think it was the Omega Owners group on Facebook. It's a guy that's making wall clocks based on watch designs, and he's made one based on the Ploprof. Have you seen this?
All right, okay. No, I have not. That sounds cool.
It sounds like it could be a good idea, and then you think about it and go, oh, that could actually be really shit. That could look like somebody's school project. Well, it's not. It is really good. I will send you some pictures, and you can drop them on the show notes and on Instagram.
Show notes.
But yeah, he's done a really, really good job. He says it's 42 centimetres horizontally, and he's done a prototype, and he's got a very unpronounceable by me name, which looks like Joa Paula Camargo, and his Instagram is joetape_ lots of foreign characters that we will include in the show notes. But this looked really funky because I've seen all the Rolex clocks and a few other classic style clocks, but this is the first time I've seen something as crazy and as nuts as this, and it looks like actual size. So,
and does the button work?
I doubt
that. Does the bezel actually turn and you push the button down, or is it just that it's made to look like it, like it's just 3D printed?
It would have to be quite a big 3D printer for being half a metre wide almost, but no, I doubt the buttons work. I think it's probably just got some quartz movement shoved into a wall clock at the back, but it looks cool. You'll see it anyway. Cool. You look in the show notes, it'll be
fine. Yeah, I'll have a look. No, that's cracking. I'd have one of them. I do like the Ploprof. I've never tried one on. If If anyone's got one, I would quite like to try it on. You tried on one that had been sitting in the shop for like months.
Two or three years.
Did it not have a scratch on it as well or something?
No, there was a part
was
of
it
the,
like bashed.
There was a part of the case that didn't have a scratch on it. She said she'd had it in for like 2 years. I think it was either 2 or 3 years. I mentioned it in a previous edition. And I kind of questioned her because English was not her first language. And I said, 2 or 3 years? No, not how long it's been out. How long has this one been in your store? 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. So I wore it. It's not the most comfortable or nice. So I actually wore two of them because I think it was a titanium and a steel.
Mm-hmm.
And as an oddity, again, it would be like buying a watch. It's a souvenir watch. Yes. You wouldn't really want to wear it out because people think you're mental. But again, if you got into a fight in Glasgow, I think you'd win if you were wearing that and using it as a knuckle duster.
Yes. So take it off, strap it in the knuckles.
And to sort of shoehorn in one last little bit of watch content, I have been seeing a lot of video clips and things floating down my Instagram and Facebook feed of the Barrichello from Artisan de Genève. Have you seen this one?
Yes. I have seen it in the past. I haven't seen anything about it recently. But yeah, this is the one where they've taken, is it a Daytona, and they've stripped it back and skeletonized it?
Yeah, but they've done it good. They've done it really well.
Is this the one they've also put a tourbillon in as well?
I don't know if it was them that did that. That was maybe last year somebody did that. But this one, it's the full gold Daytona they've done it on this time. And they've done it right. You know, it's like Singer, take a portion, do it right. They haven't just messed it up. Well, this looks pretty cool. It's not Bamforded. And it's not Mad Paris in style, but it's really nice. And they've obviously done it in stainless before. They've got a custom rubber strap for it. And they've got this new gold one that they've worked on. And the videos, this is the video that I'm going to show people when I'm trying to explain why watches are cool and interesting, because it shows you the guy working on the internals. It's filmed really nicely. And it just explains a little bit more why these things are expensive, why there's a lot of art and craft involved in it, and why these guys are trained for years before they're allowed to get near things.
Yeah, no, I'm just looking at it just now. That's very cool. Their stuff is good, to be fair to them. Quite a range. I didn't realise they'd done quite as many special editions. I don't really, I'd come across the Montoya, the Lenny Kravitz, and the Rubens. I didn't realise it was these other ones. They're quite cool. Spike Lee Cool Hand Brooklyn, that's funky looking.
That was nice. That was a couple of years ago that one came out.
Yeah. Although, why they put all these watches on their sides, on the pictures on the website, it's a bit odd to have their photography that way. There we go. Anyway, what do I know?
Nothing.
Yes, that's cool. I know nothing.
Anything else you want to cover before we wrap it up?
No, although there was an interesting video this week from Paul Thorpe about cleaning watches, which you and me were kind of like, yeah, not sure I really agree to do with that. And this was in the back of somebody requesting you to republish or to find, to help them find, what was that tool called that the woman used to basically rip the Daytona back down to its constituent metal base?
Jewel tool, which is like a big polishing mop that this woman used to polish up a Daytona, as in the full thing was shiny, and she took all the paint or inking out of the tacky metal bezel.
Numerals. Yeah, it was very funny. I mean, like, it was verging on the criminal, but it was also quite amusing.
There's a meme that I made about this that you'll see on Instagram if you go and check it out.
All right, okay. So tell us what your thoughts were about this watch cleaning that Mr. Thorpe was engaged in.
Generally, it was okay, but there was some points that running the watch under the tap and whatnot, that's a lot of pressure. If something's rated as being 30 metres, 50 metres, 100 metres, etc., that is standing pressure. That's not water hitting something. It's like if you point a pressure washer at a car, you will blow the paint off it. So it's all about pressure as well as humidity and heat. So if you're using hot water that's coming out of your tap at pressure against something, that's going to give you some problems probably. And he was saying, the bit that got me was, and I've heard this mentioned a few times and I've read it in forums, to clean your watch, use an old toothbrush. Now, if you've got a Rolex that's got polished sides to the case or has got the PCL, the polycenter links, if you touch that within, if you look at that the wrong way, it's going to scuff up. So taking a plastic bristle and scratching across the top of it is really going to duff it up. He was doing it in his James Cameron that doesn't have polished center links at all, so he was going to town on it. But that's really, really bad advice. And also, if you don't know like how good the gaskets are, even if your watch is rated to something and it's not been pressure tested recently, then you're taking a bit of a gamble on it and smothering it in soap, baby soap, fairy liquid or whatever. Anything like that's got a detergent in it that's going to try and attack anything that is oil-based or grease-based is going to attack your lubricants around your gaskets. So it's a bit of a tricky one. not sure I would agree with it fully. What do you think?
Well, I mean, you know my view on clean watches, which is just
don't do it. Just say no.
Don't do it. Just say no. As anyone who's seen my pan and I knows, the secret to not damaging your watch while cleaning it is just not to bother. The mud will eventually dry off and fall off.
I'm thinking the water resistance on your Panerai must be like thousands of metres with the amount of caked on crap that you've got everywhere.
The easiest way to clean a water resistant, like a properly water resistant watch, in my opinion, is to go swimming with it. Or the sea. That's the best way to clean horses and dogs. Chuck them in the sea. So I don't know. But I certainly agree with you about using a toothbrush, which is effectively it's abrasive. That's how you brush your teeth. But to use it on a highly polished surface, I would probably not recommend that.
No.
You know, just use a cloth. What do you need to use a toothbrush for?
Well, to get in all the nooks and crannies. He was using a toothpick as well.
So use a chamois leather and what do you call it? Oh, what's the stuff you use for putting in between your teeth?
Floss.
That stuff. Floss. That's what I'm looking for. Use that stuff.
I wouldn't recommend that. The way I clean my stuff is I use it's a pH neutral car shampoo that is designed not to attack door seals or lubricated areas of the car. You know, if you get that stuff in your brakes and whatnot, you don't want it then dissolving all the grease and the copper slip and whatnot. So I use that stuff with warm water, put the watch in a basin with the warm water, with that, let it sit there for a bit. And then, you know, like a shaving brush that's got really soft, fine bristles? I use something like that. Because the bristles also bend and contour a lot easier, the horsehair or whatever it is they use. It gets in all the bits, all the nooks and crannies that a toothbrush will not bend its plastic bristles into. It doesn't scratch it up, or if it does, it doesn't scratch up anywhere near what a toothbrush, even an old toothbrush or a baby's toothbrush, will do. And then I just give it a careful rinsing again with warm water, and that's it, and then dry it off with a microfiber towel. And that generally seems to work quite well.
Yeah, use a brush of some kind that is animal hair based would be my recommendation. It'll take you longer because it's not as abrasive, which is kind of the whole point.
Yeah.
So there you go. And if you want any horse hair, I can bring you some.
Good stuff.
Some extra.
Excellent. Well, that is all we have time for, Rick. So do you want to tell the good people where to go?
Yeah, so lots of places to go now. So in particular, we're a big push on the Facebook group. So find the Facebook page at Scottish Watches. And then from there, find the group. You basically click on that and somebody will let you into the group. Obviously, the best thing about Facebook is you can continue the stories and they sit there and you can add additional pictures and all the rest of it to what somebody is saying, which is something that Instagram have still not managed to do. So Facebook is where it's at the moment. Instagram's good for a certain purpose, getting out there, but Facebook's where the real chat happens. So come and join us there. Also YouTube, there's some more YouTube stuff going to be coming out in the next wee while, so make sure you're subscribed there. And the Instagram course, Old Faithful, is at Scottish Watches. Anything else?
On our YouTube, hopefully, if it's worked this time, we will put the Instagram live video from Friday the 13th, which is about half an hour's worth of chat. We'll try and put that onto YouTube so you can check it out. That's where you can check out your unboxing video that we talked about earlier as well. And that really is it. So,
cool. Goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye. Oh,